This is HPR episode 2936 for Monday, the 4th of November 2019. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for October 2019. It's hosted by HPR volunteers and it's about 42 minutes long, carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Ken discusses last month's shows and talks about AugCamp, FOSS Weekly, FOSDEM, and Star Wars.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of HPR Community News for October 2019. Joining me this evening is nobody, largely because Dave had some communication issues and although I could hear him, he couldn't hear me. Anyway, so we'll mosey along and continue. So for those of you who are new to the show, HPR is a community podcast network where the shows are contributed by people very much like yourself. In fact, people like yourself. So, and this show allows you to get an idea of what has been happening in the last month here on HPR. So the first thing we tend to do is introduce new hosts, and I'd like to do that now. We had one new host last month, and that was Carl. So very welcome to the network, Carl. And we look forward to hearing your show. Then we'll go through all the shows that were released in the last month. And this gives people an opportunity to get some feedback. But also, as it turns out, it gives people an opportunity to download the shows who are subscribing to this feed. We'll cover additional comments as well as going on to mail list discussions, a few items related to the events calendar, and some any other business that we happen to have quite a lot this week. So without further ado, we will go on to talk about the first show, and that was HPR 2912, which was Star Drifter RPG Play Series Part 6. There were no comments on this one. Shutting the door there. There were no comments on this one, but we will move on. And this was the real-time strategy game playtest that Lost in Bronx is developing and has been testing it out with a few friends, Tlatu and Taj, Mark, and X1101. So this has been a riveting one, I must say. And we will discuss that later on when we go to the final episode, which I think is covered in this month's show as well. The following day, we had Windows, SDN and Firewalls. And this was by Bento. And it was being a Windows user for the last 3 years. Information on SDN and the DIY approach to home firewall. Claudio Nem had one comment on this. Plus one on the chocolatey recommendation. I really enjoyed the episode. I've known about chocolatey for some years now, and it's been a godsend to me when I have to use Windows at work. I primarily use Linux and OpenBSD. I actually have a scheduled task that runs the cup --all --y command daily. This command upgrades all packages installed via Chocolatey and accepts all prompts. I also use MSYS2 for a proper Unix-like shell with Pacman for running updates so that I can use all the CLI apps I use on Linux and OS and OpenBSD. PS Tools is another suite that I can't live without. Ultimately, one needs to use the tools that work for them, whatever it is. If it's Windows or Mac OS, great. If it's Linux or BSD or something completely different, great. If it's TemplOS OS, I'll have to raise my eyebrow, but still great. Okay, the following day we had Mr. X with his, I'm loving it, describing how I listened to podcast part 4. And he's talking in this episode about Pi-Face controller and display, what hardware he's using, and essentially how to over-engineer your podcast experience. But am I complaining? Oh no, because this stuff is right up my alley. And even if you're not interested in this show from the point of view of podcasting, this is an excellent insight to what you can do with this with a Raspberry Pi and a LCD display and some buttons. You can do quite a lot of inter-human computer interfacing and scripting with that. So well worth a listen if you're just scanning the feeds. Keep an eye out that this is actually more deep than describing how we listen to podcasts. So this was Carl's first introductory show, and I really hope it won't be his last. My first HPR episode, and a bit of an intro, and then a description of my recording setup. And it was commented on by myself, who requested more Mr. Chrome, more shows on the following. Mr. Chromebox.tech, which is a custom core boot firmware utility for the Chromebook and Chromebox. If you could do a show about cockpit, that would be awesome. If you could explain more detail how controlling your lead display and seep in login.conf, which is the login configuration manager. If you could do a quick show on Wake on LAN, why you would use it, how it works, etc. I would really like to know about USB-C docks and how they work for Linux. There's a few, and how they work for Chromebooks, etc. And if you could do a show or a series of shows on the Reaper digital audio workstation. And you see, that's what happens, folks, when you send in a show to us here in HPR, we will find more shows that you should send in to us. So in passing, these items were mentioned in the episode, and I really hope Carl will do some more shows on that. His kit seems actually quite nice as well. Okay. The following day, we had the HPR community news, and obviously we didn't say anything controversial in that, as nobody commented. Then we had the Star Drifter Part 7, and the following day we had selecting a random item from a weighted list, which is two Kotoroto's Haskell series, and this one was random number generators, which is actually quite interesting given his comment that in Haskell this is a rather difficult thing to do. I think I kind of got this, but I was hoping Dave would have invaluable insights into it for me. So the next day we had hosting software in the HPR show notes. Oh dear, Jezra. Boats are awesome, but might lead to hosting software on the HPR show notes. So I worry. I do worry about you. This, needless to say, was an episode about how somebody got a kayak and then put a motor on it, overturned, and then their phone got completely wet. It's well worth a script, or well worth a listen. And Jezra has a small Python script to scrape the API from weather.gov, the source of all weather in the US, apparently. So that was that show really made me chuckle. Note to self again, if the repairing the boat video wasn't enough, if I ever do make it over to the States, never ever go anywhere near water with Jezra. So, Ahuka, the following day, continues with a MeWe, a better social network. And he says MeWe was advertised as another popular alternative to Google+. This is part of his series that he's doing on alternatives to, you know, free software and the like. Excellent episode show notes are available on his own blog over there. Geocaching with the Family was a show by Dave, Caroline and the kids, who I had the great pleasure of meeting at Ogcamp. And Jezra says on this episode, what a fun adventure. Stinging nettles and cobwebs and badgers, smiley face. Kevin O'Brien says, I loved this show. I agree with Jezra. This was tons of fun. I just was thinking, oh, I'm right there. This, of course, was part of our series. Oh, I haven't put it into a series, which I need to do. This is, at this point, I would say, Dave, make a note. We need to put this into Soundscapes series. So I really enjoyed this episode. Basically, it was Dave, Caroline and the kids going on a day out geocaching, and the fun and frustration that can result from it. Star Drifter RPG Playtest Part 8 continues the adventure. And then also Part 5 of How I Listened to Podcast. In this episode, Mr. X covered how I used the second add-on board, Pyface Controller and Display. And in the episode, in the show notes, you'll see pictures of Waiting for IP, and then he uses this only 22 days for the next free HPR slot. No reason to not submit shows just because there are one or two shows in the queue. And he also displayed how he controls this device using his Samsung remote control TV. So if you're doing any computer interface in with a Raspberry Pi or some or something equivalent, this is actually quite a good show to listen to, and I have it in my note to self whenever I get round to it to have a listen. Again, this the following day was from John Culp in Lafayette, Louisiana. Had another find at the Goodwill store, but his speaker was quite loud, so he used a resistor to make it quieter. And this was one of the first episodes a colleague of mine and Mark listened to. So there you go. I was wondering if John had considered using the word escapes me, potentiometer for this, so that you could increase and lower the resistance, which would make the speaker louder and softer. This is one of my pet peeves. I mean, an alarm clock should have a loud and soft button. So there we go. Great episode, and I will be referring to that. If not, the information in it is probably not that relevant, but it is useful to realize that you can lower the volume of some of these devices. The following day, we had Linux Lugcast Memorial to 5150, and there was a comment from Lost in Bronx, which I'll read now. I never met 50, but I knew him. I posted this over at the Memorandum Mall for his obituary, but it probably bears repeating here. I knew him by his online handle, 5150. He was simply a great, great guy, a fine podcaster, and a tireless member of the HPR community, among others. He offered encouragement by the bucketful and constructive criticism when needed. A good soul and a man of strong character who displayed loyalty and dependability each time I spoke to him. I never met the man, but 50 was a good friend. May he rest well. And that, I think, is a fitting tribute to 5150. And thanks to Hunky and those guys for putting on that show. Really, really do appreciate it. The following day, we had Tony Hughes, who I also had the pleasure of meeting at Odd Camp. And he is there to tell us that the Full Circle magazine needs an injection of new blood. So if you want to take, if you want to help out with that magazine, please feel free to do so. In fact, I just recently saw that opensource.com have taken one of Dave and BeEasy's shows and used that as the basis for a written article on their website. If you feel that you want to support the Full Circle magazine and you have heard a show on HPR that you think would be of interest to the people over there, please feel free to take the show notes or audio and convert it into magazine format and publish it over there. That would be absolutely, completely and totally in line with what we're trying to do here. So yes, please help out there if you can. Star Drifter RPG Part 9, we'll mosey over that until we get to Part 10. And the following day we had 2928, which was building Markov chains with Haskell. And there were two comments associated with that. BeEasy said, "Thanks for this episode. I may be in the minority, but I love thinking about Markov chains and probability algorithms. It is interesting how this is implemented in Haskell. Comparing it to the same algorithm in Python allowed me to follow the Haskell structure and syntax for the first time." To which Tukutorator replied, "Thanks for the feedback. BeEasy, hearing that you were able to follow Haskell structure and syntax made me extremely happy." Me too. It's quite alien-looking language with odd syntax, and spinning it on a podcast is pretty hard for me. Markov chains and other procedural generation methods are close to my heart, as I've been tinkering with games for a long time. I rather try and write algorithms than generates me content and be surprised by the results than write it by myself and know exactly what to expect. Well, I am absolutely thrilled for BeEasy's feedback here, because to be honest, I'm not qualified to discuss any of this, as it's not my basically it's not something I've been interested in, or not that I'm not interested in it, I have never had experience of it prior to this. And it's great that BeEasy took the time there to provide some feedback to Kotoroto. And I know for sure that in the coming years, people will be providing more feedback when this series gets the due respect and publicity it deserves. And the Haskell people come flocking over here to follow this series in its entirety. So keep up the good work to Kotoroto and BeEasy. Thank you very much for providing the feedback. And people, I said this quite a lot at Odd Camp and more recently, feedback is the currency by which a podcaster is motivated. So if you can put in a comment, if you can drop them an email or do another show commenting on their show, that sort of feedback is absolutely tremendous. When you get positive feedback on your show, you are floating around the whole day with a little bit of a buzz. That is actually it. So please continue to do that. It's great. Recovering files from a dead MacBook Air. Okay, that was by John Culp, who was the household hero, where he was able to use an Ubuntu Live CD and get all his files back, and ended up making his wife happy, I believe, and also was able to get himself a new laptop. Win-win there, John. Well done. Now, following day, 29:30, and I got to make sure that I don't overstep or Dave will be annoyed with me. I'll feel his disapproval from over here. And today they run down once on Dyspora. I don't know if I'm saying that. It's basically an alternative platform up against Facebook. So a bit of a rundown on that and an explanation of it. As I said before, this is a fantastic little series on the various different options that there are, and if you're going to be moving from one thing to the next, what are your options, and how likely is it that you're going to go from one abandoned platform to another abandoned platform? So keep up the good work there, Ahuka. Wallabag for on-premises article aggregation. When I posted that, I had no clue about what it was, but I've listened to the show since and I realized that this is actually quite an interesting thing. It's basically, if anyone uses Firefox, that you have the Pocket thing, which is a free / proprietary service. I think a lot of people were a bit cheesed that that was put into Firefox when other things could have used development. But anyway, and Wallabag is something that you can run yourself on your own server and basically sync articles and save them offline. So that's that was an interesting one. Also an interesting insight into running Docker and containers and the issues that you get into in a practical sense. So would be worth a listen if you're thinking about, you want a little project to run a Docker container in. This might be something that would be of interest to you. Now, Stardrifter RPG Playtest Part 10. I will now comment on this. I loved this show. I loved the entire series. I loved the concept, the fact that they're doing this. And I have already provided Lost in Bronx feedback. Feedback which he threw in my face. He didn't. I'm approaching this from the point of view of never having played Dungeons and Dragons or any of those games at all. And actually, since then, my wife, while we were at Odd Camp, my son had a birthday party where a dungeon master came over and did an introductory game with the guys, and they all loved it. But as my wife and my other two kids who were just there commented, gosh, there was an awful lot of killing and dying and battles and stuff. So my comment was, when I read the Stardrifter series, I see that a character who's trying to figure a way out of a problem and he's getting help from other people, and then you come up with a solution to the problem and how to do that without the battles. But Lost in Bronx pointed out that there is an awful lot of battles in Stardrifter as well, and specifically that this was a playtest of a battle scene, and that regardless of what was going to happen, they were going to end up having a battle. So that was it. But a great, oh my god, was that awesome. Just in the game, in the Stardrifter universe, loads of people that I like talking about a game. What is not to like in this whole process? This was brought up as well at Odd Camp, and also when we were on FOSS Weekly, about as a excellent thing that you can experience here on HPR. So, cool. Following day, it was the 30th. Yes, we're still in this month, Dave. Don't panic. Brace yourself. A walk through my PyFace CAD Python code part 1. And this was by Mr. X. And he is describing the first part of how he sets up his PyFace CAD on his Raspberry Pi, which he uses to control his music player running on a remote Raspberry Pi upstairs. So that was a nice introduction as to why and how he does it. And then the last show for this month, if I'm not correct, was Server Basics 106, Namespaces and Containers. Klaatu talks about unshare and LXC containers commands. And this is basically the foundation of the cloud running on Linux. He doesn't tell you that at the start of the show. But by the end of the show, all the Kubernetes and all the buzzwords and all the other stuff that you have, serverless computing, cloud computing, blah, 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 this is it. Absolutely. As he says, it will be, you might not necessarily ever be getting down to the nuts and bolts of this, but I think I myself would consider this to be a bit like Linux from scratch. It's a good thing to do at least once, to do it understanding the higher level processes, what they're doing on the underneath, and doing it once, just following the commands that are in this episode. And indeed, he's also doing some on his own podcast, GNU World Order, if you're over there. This is definitely worth something that you should. It'll take you 15 minutes to try it out, but then the wheels start associating Docker containers with these containers, with how the process tree looks different, etc. So well worth a check that one out if you can. So cool. That was the list of shows that we were going through, but there were seven other comments from previous shows. And in going through the logs for the FOSS Weekly interview, the interesting point that I saw was that now 50% of our shows are coming from the RSS feeds, and 50% of the downloads are coming directly from the websites. So we have the long tail type of thing here. Also, 50% of the shows are current shows that are in the feed, and then the other 50% are shows that are older than that people have listened to and have been downloading. So there was a comment on back in September, The Work of a Firefighter Part 2 by Jeroen. Don says, great podcast. Hi, Jeroen. After meeting you at Odd Camp 19, it was great to put a face to a voice. Hope the talk went well on Sunday. It did. Also, after meeting you and Yannick and the crew at the HPR stand, I'm inspired to look and see if there's anything I can do a podcast about. Also, I can contribute back to the community Take care, my friend, and thank you for sharing your experiences in such an enjoyable, informative way. Well, Don, if that wasn't I owe you a show, I don't know what is. Brilliant first show that you can do is, hi, I'm Don. This is how I ended up at Oddcamp 19, blah, blah, blah. And then we will be more than happy to supply you with a complete list of shows that you can do. Comment on Better Social Media Introduction by Ahuka. Jeroen says, I hope you find time to discuss Okuna. O-K-U-N-A. Okuna. Let's call it Okuna for now. Hi, I really love to listen to this show and learn a thing or two. As one of the sponsors of the Okuna, a previously open book Kickstarter project, I really look forward to your review of this in one of your shows, if you ever find the time or interest. Kevin says, I have no plans for now. I don't have plans to cover Okuna. Maybe you can do a show about that. Haha, nice one, Kevin. See what he did there, Jeroen? Haha, nudge. Anywho, comment on BEZ's feature engineering for data-driven decision, which was also September. Hi, BEZ. I just wanted to say, there's Gabriel Evenfire, by the way. I love the idea here. Hi, BEZ. Just wanted to say I really enjoyed this one. The topic of data analysis is definitely fascinating. Clearly from your comments, some folks don't have data mining or data science in mind when they build applications, but this episode gives one a very strong notion of why everyone should. And on Gabriel Evenfire's show itself, Onyx Basics Part 3, Network Fundamentals, and thanks, Gabriel, for... for fixing that bug issue. So I can now install it in Fedora. No reason not to install it, guys. And in Geek Girls. And everything in between. Thanks for your feedback. I will try to contribute to build on the fundamentals as a series continues. And Derek says, yet another top episode. Gabrielle's feedback was related to the previous comment from last month, which was from Archer72. And Jerry Kay says, yet another top episode. Thanks for another top episode, Gabrielle. Though I'm pretty experienced in the field, I still find the stuff fascinating and educational. I have finally gotten around to downloading Onyx, and I'm looking forward to playing with it. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Jezra sent in a show last month about my internet connection, and Biza commented, hi Jezra, I use wireless ISP in Shropshire in rural country in England. The signal is bounced between relays mounted on the hilltops and beamed down to the villages and farms below. The line of sight problem is resolved by having a few very low power sub relays positioned around the area at lower elevations. For example, I cannot see my nearby relay from the roof of my house, but a grain silo on the farm next to me can. So I take my signal from the sub relay mounted on the top of the silo. It works great, and since the ISP is only a small company, it must be cheap too. Perhaps one of the WISPs in your area could be persuaded to look at an approach to expand their customer base. So that was all the comments, which is great to have. As I've said to people before, said earlier in the show, providing comments is an excellent way to motivate people. So the mailing list discussions was around links to Creative Commons podcasts, and there were some great suggestions, and that really went down like really went down well. Can't come up with an analogy right now. At Ogcamp, we had I just printed off A4 sheets of paper and on both sides, so that I could cut them in the middle and hand out an A5 sheet of paper with the list of the podcasts. And it was a great way to get people over to the table. You could just give them, you know, if you're here at Ogcamp, are you into podcasting? Yes, I am. Then you go, well, here's a list of other podcasts, and you know, if you're into podcasting, you might be interested in HPR, blah blah blah. Oh no, you're not. Well then, oh, we would love to hear a podcast about how you got involved in Ogcamp without actually being interested in podcasting. Anywho, the Ohio Linux Fest is on the 1st of November, so that's already gone. And my bill had a announcement that AnyCon is if any of you live in the northwest of the US, AnyCon is scheduled, and it will be on November the 1st and the 2nd, so I doubt you're going to make that today, but anywho, we did our best. And the community news, then Kevin Wisher pointed us to the fact that our famous community member has done a How Community Saved Artwork on the Creative Commons, which is a very, very interesting article about how Open Clip Art Library just disappeared. It's still online, but it has completely just disappeared, leaving people high and dry. So even though the license was CC0, it's gone. Fortunately, they were able to use free software to salvage the files, and those files are now available on freesvg.org, free scalable vector graphic, freesvg. I've updated the link on the HPR website to that website. And yes, element of doc dropping going on, but Clathu and Seth are fine with that. So the next thing is some events that are coming up that you need to be aware of. It's actually quite quiet in November and December, because a lot of the conferences have been I've been on Ohio Linux Fest has been on this weekend. FOSCamp is just over. OGCamp is just over. And December is pretty quiet, but of course at the beginning of February is FOSDEM on the 1st and 2nd of February 2020. 1st and 2nd of February 2020. And that brings us on to the fact that I have requested a podcast table at FOSDEM 2020. So this pretty much every year I propose a table there for all the podcast shows that release under a Creative Commons license. Basically the same thing, recommended podcasts that I have. And that the idea would be that if we were ever granted a table there, that we would have stickers and representatives of the various different podcasts that are around. Even if people couldn't make it, we could represent them at least. Despite there being three or four different areas where tables are available at FOSDEM, actually more, there's five or six different areas where tables are available, it is very, very difficult to get a project accepted for FOSDEM. So don't be surprised if we don't get that one. So speaking of which, I did mention that Ahuka, Kevin and myself were on FOSS Weekly episode 553. I will post the audio of that here on HPR so you can have a listen to it. And it was absolutely terrifying. So don't know what it was that was terrifying about it. Probably the video. The video was the thing that was probably terrifying about it. It was great to do. It was great to meet the guys. The interview went quite well, I think. Don't know. We'll see. It was... have a listen. Tell me what you think yourself. I'm kind of interested. I also would like to... One of the things that I mentioned on our application to FOSDEM was the fact that the RSS feeds are becoming less and less available to people, and that people are going to services like iTunes or podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher or SoundCloud, etc. to get the shows. Now we should probably be on those as well, but because I live outside of the US, I am not able to sign up for these. So if somebody would like to help me out sometimes registering HPR on those networks, I would appreciate the help. Okay, just two more items of business and then I can close this one up. Over the last month, previous long going discussion has been the text to speech at the beginning of the podcast, and where we give a summary of what the show is, how long it's going to be and what it's about. That is proving important for people given the number of shows that we have. It gives people, if you're in the car or on the train or operating a vehicle, the option to listen to the show and go, look, I don't want to listen to this right now, I'm just going to skip over it, without having to go in half, without having to commit your whole life to listening to the podcast, before you can skip over it or decide, well, I'll listen to that when I'm at my desktop or whatever. So a lot of people have complained about eSpeak, the voice that we've used, and despite for the last 14 years looking for something better that would have the ability to be realistically be able to be sped up so that our visually impaired people who listen at 800 miles an hour won't get freaked out when eSpeak is dropped, I decided to do the intros for last month and this month, at least these 2 months, so that we have the opportunity to discuss it. So rather than having an eSpeak voice, that I would record it with the possible view that the people uploading the shows themselves could include, here's the piece of text that you need to read to introduce your show, that you could also do that. So tell me what you think, if it's interesting, if it's not, if it bugs you, if it's good, if it's bad. It doesn't really add that much to the amount of time it takes me to post a show. The majority of the time is actually done by Dave, who takes show notes and puts it into HTML or into a format that is not invalid HTML. And that is an ongoing problem that we had, that show notes are not coming in properly. So if you are submitting show notes in HTML, then do your best to make sure that they're valid HTML, because it's costing a lot of time on our side to fix that. A solution to that might be to use some sort of markdown thing on the website, where like GitLab or GitHub uses, where you use markdown and then you can click the button and see what your show notes are going to look like. Maybe that's something to look at. But tell us what you think about Ken versus eSpeak. And then I have a request from my son. As I am a Trekkie, I wouldn't possibly know the answer to this. Anyone who is a Star Wars fan, if you could tell me what the best way would be to watch the movies. Do you watch them in episode order, or do you watch them in production order, or is there some other order in which you would watch them? My personal preference would be to watch them based on release date, so production order, as opposed to episode order. But if you have comments on that, I'd appreciate your feedback, either to the HPR mailing list, commenting on this show, or to me directly, ken@fallon.ie. And with that, I will wish you a very happy day. Oh, the last thing. Summary of missing tags. So we probably have quite a few new listeners who are joining the show for the first time. If that is you, congratulations. Thank you for joining the team. If you want to submit a show, press the upload button right there on the website, HPR website. There's a big upload button. You can press it. Anything that you need to know is covered there. If it's not, drop me a line, admin@hackerpublicradio.org, ken@fallon.ie. There are currently 579 shows without summaries, considering we have, so 629 need some work. So that is way down on what we had. This proved extremely useful, the whole tag thing, in helping people to find shows at Oddcamp or wherever, because you just go to the page and you search for Linux, and then boom, you've got all the different shows where it's mentioned or at least tagged. So if you're going back listening to all the shows from day one, have a listen. Tell us if the show is relevant anymore. Are there any missing links? Anything, any tags that should be added or removed? That would be absolutely awesome. And tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio!
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.